2. Luke chapter number 2. And my goal this evening is just, you know, to be used of God, but just being an encouragement to you this evening. I'm sure that I'm not going to surprise you with the passage. It's a passage that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, but just a few verses that I would like to go over this evening and, you know, just and just give the word that the Lord has for us this evening. Luke chapter number 2, and look what it says in verse number 25. As you're turning there, of course, you know the context of what's happening. Of course, it's after the angels visited Mary, and they are on their way to have baby Jesus, and they have Jesus, and the shepherds go and see Jesus, the wise men there, and this is after the custom of what they were supposed to do when they went to the temple for Jesus, and this is where we pick up in Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." God places us in situations to wait on him. And through that waiting, we learn to trust him. It is through a time of waiting, a time that we don't really know what's happening, is when he teaches us patience and he teaches us to trust in him. When I think of patience, I think of a whole lot of things. And the first instance when I think of patience is, if many of you don't know, Sunday afternoons, after service is over, myself and Brother Noah, we drive down and we have lunch, and we usually go to either two fast food places. We either go to Taco Bell or KFC, or on the other side, we either go to Burger King in the Kingstown Town Center. And we decide, you may say, boy, that's three options. How do you decide where to go? It's very simple. We drive down that road, we take a turn, and whichever drive-through has the least amount of cars, that is the place we go to. So one Sunday, if Taco Bell has three cars in drive-through and Burger King has six, we're going to Taco Bell. If, on the other hand, if Burger King has three and Taco Bell has six, then we are going to Burger King. But all that to say is, at the end of the day, we just do not want to wait the longest for food. We do not have the patience to want to sit in the car and wait to order our food. I know that I struggle with patience, and I hope I'm not the only one here who doesn't struggle with patience. But as I read the story and understood what Simeon is going through, I learned that patience is not only an important characteristic, especially if you just go out one day, you need to have patience, but it's also a biblical and important characteristic to have as a Christian. We understand that it takes patience to grow things. We understand that it takes patience. I mean, every time you wake up and do something, you may have to have patience that instant. But the question is, if God has you in a season of waiting right now, are you thriving in that season? You know, it's easy to just survive the wait. It's easy to just kind of just get through that waiting time. But are you thriving during this season of waiting? In our story this evening, Simeon had no choice but to wait on God. He had to trust in God. And he could have just gone through the motions. He could have just done whatever he wanted to do to wait on God. But he decided that he was going to thrive while he was in this season of waiting. He didn't just get through it. He thrived in it. And in this story, I want us to notice three important observations of the story of how Simeon was able to thrive during this time, but also how can we be patient and how can we thrive when we are going through these seasons of waiting. I know that in the story that Simeon, he had to wait. And I'm sure in many of our lives this evening, we have burdens. We have situations where we have no choice but to wait. Maybe you tried to do things on your own. Maybe you tried to do things in your own strength. But ultimately, we have to leave it to God and we have to be patient. And he places us in a waiting season. Maybe it's a prayer request. Maybe it's something that's on your mind right now that you have no choice but to be placed in a waiting season. So let's notice this evening how we can thrive in that time. First of all, look what it says in verse number 25 and 26. I see that there was a promise given. As we read, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. Simeon was a godly man, and he was given a promise. His promise was that he was going to see the Lord's Christ. This was a big deal. This was a big deal to be able to see baby Jesus, the one who would come down to save the world. If you ask any Jew, if you ask anyone, they would know very quickly about the promised Messiah that they were promised, that they were waiting for. And if you study the timeline of everything, in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was 400 years of a time where there was no revelation from God and people were just waiting. They were waiting for a promised Messiah. They were waiting to hear revelation from God. They had no idea what to do. All they had to do was wait. If you remember the children of Israel, when they were in slavery in Egypt, they had to wait. And they waited for a promised Messiah. But this promise that was given to Simeon was very specific. It was promised to him that he would not die before he saw the Savior of the world. As I was thinking about that, I was like, man, what a great promise to be able to see the one that was promised them for years. But then I started to really think about it. Simeon was given a promise, but that meant that he couldn't die until he saw that promise, which means he had to deal with everyday things that to struggle as a human. He had to deal with sickness. He had to deal with disease. He had to deal with things that maybe if you've lost a family member, you pray that, you know what, even though we miss them, you know, they went to heaven and praise the Lord that they were in a better place now. But Simeon had to deal with sickness. He had to deal with disease. He had to deal with day-to-day difficulties. And yet, he was still faithful while being patient and waiting on God. He was waiting to see the promised Messiah. And the time that he was in, this is during the time of the Roman Empire, a cruel nation, and they had to go through all sorts of different things. He had to be faithful in the midst of a difficult time. I think it's very interesting that the passage describes that he was just and devout. He was righteous in his character, and he was faithful to God. If we are going to thrive during our waiting season, we must be faithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Will you make the decision to be faithful during this waiting season? Some of you would say, man, Brother Ben, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful during this time where I don't know what's happening, but what should I be faithful in? A few things. First of all, we need to be faithful in our walk with God. Last night, we had our young adults group, Common Grounds, and we went through Colossians 1, and it was awesome to see how Paul describes how good God is, how he is the creator of all things. By him, all things consist, that he might have the preeminence. But Paul says something very interesting in chapter 1 and verse 9. He says that we have not ceased to pray for you. Why did Paul say not cease to pray for you? So that you can have spiritual understanding and that your knowledge would increase of Christ. Paul could have said a lot of things that he was praying with them for. He could have said, I'm praying for the difficult times you're going through. I could pray for you about all these things. And I'm sure he did. But his first priority was that he would pray for their walk with God. If we are going to thrive in this time of waiting, we need to be faithful in our walk with God. God told Joshua that if you want success, Moses had just died, if you want success in taking over and leading the children of Israel, if you meditate in the law day and night and do according and observe, then you shall have success. How can we be faithful in our walk with God? That includes reading the Bible. I know that when I give a prayer request, and if it seems like I'm not getting an answer, many times just to confess, that doesn't make me want to go to the Bible and start reading again. That doesn't make me want to instantly go to prayer. During these waiting seasons, during these waiting times. But Simeon didn't get this promise given to him to just do whatever he wanted to do. God gave him this promise. God blessed him because he was faithful. And if we are going to be faithful to God in this season, we need to be faithful in our walk with him, in our prayer, talking to God. But also, how can we be faithful? We need to be faithful to church. The Bible says, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I've said this illustration a few times talking about COVID-19, how that, you know, we moved to live stream, we watched all these services, but it was good once we were able to get back in church. It was awesome to see everyone again, to enjoy the fellowship again. But it's more than that as far as coming back together. It's more than just fellowship. It's about encouraging one another. Encouraging one another in this battle that we're going through in life, encouraging each other in the race, and even as the verse says, and so much the more. We need it now more than ever. Acts 2, 41 and 42, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I'm sure Simeon was tired. I'm sure he had no idea. He didn't know the time. He didn't know the details. He didn't know what was going on. But he knew that every single day, he was just going to be faithful. He was just going to hold on to the promise that God had given him. And he was going to be faithful. We need to decide this evening that in no matter what season we are in, whether you're in the waiting season, whether you are in a storm going through right now, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valleys, decide to be faithful this evening. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see many Bible characters who had faith in God. But in the final few verses of Hebrews 11, the Bible says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith, because they had faith, because they were faithful to God, because they had faith in God, they were able to subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Imagine what you and I can do this evening as we decide that, you know, maybe this year, maybe we didn't have as much faith in God as we should have. Maybe we were not as faithful to God as we should have. But as we go into the new year, imagine what God can do through me, through you, if we decide to be faithful and have faith in God and see what he can do as we go into this new year. Jesus himself said that if you have faith as small as a grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Waiting on God does not just mean standing still. It means walking faithfully wherever he is leading. If he leads you away somewhere else, be faithful there. If he leads you, whatever it may be faithful there. Have faith and be faithful to God. When he promises you something, hold on to it because he will not forget it. Not only do I see a promise given, look what it says in verse number 27 through 29. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. See, God did exactly what he said he would do. Not only was there a promise given, but there was a promise fulfilled. He did it. Simeon, I'm sure he couldn't believe it. He understood what God was trying to do. But I notice in verse number 27, look at the first few words. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Simeon was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's moving in his life. I'm sure Simeon got up one morning and he's like, man, I should go to the temple. He could have said, oh, God, I've done this 1,000 times. I've done this. I've seen it all. I've done this. This is part of my schedule. What's so special about today? But you know what he decided to do? He said, okay, God, just like before, I'll do it. He obeyed. He obeyed the leading of God in his life. If we are going to thrive and be successful in our waiting season, in this waiting time, we need to obey the leading of God in our lives. John 16, 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Isaiah 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. I know this is simple, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but God blesses obedience. We see examples throughout the Bible with Abraham, the one son that he had been waiting for, and the promise that God gave Abraham. He sees it. He's holding Isaac. He has it through, even though he made some mistakes. It's finally here. And the next thing that God asked him to do was to sacrifice that son. The son that Abraham had been waiting for, the miracle that was the birth of Isaac, he was waiting for. But he did it. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't hesitate. He obeyed God. Also something about Abraham. God didn't tell Abraham that, hey, you know what, Abraham, just go ahead and sacrifice Isaac. Don't worry, I have a plan. Don't worry, there's going to be a ram that's going to be caught in the thicket. Don't worry, I'm not going to actually allow you to kill Isaac. God didn't tell Abraham that. Abraham had to purely just obey and have faith in God. Joshua, the great warrior, I'm sure he looked silly walking around the walls of Jericho, but he still obeyed God. And Simeon obeyed God. We also know the way God feels about disobedience. Moses couldn't go into the promised land because of disobedience. Saul's kingdom was taken from him because of that. The first sin of Adam and Eve was disobedience. The question is this evening, are you living in obedience towards God or disobedience? One path gets God's blessings, the other does not. You know, Simeon could have said, you know, I've done this all the time. I've done this 1,000 times. Why should I do it today? But he decided to obey God, and that's how he saw the promise fulfilled. Maybe God made you a promise or gave you something years ago, and you're still praying about it. Maybe he hasn't answered it. Are you going to continue to believe God as we go into the next year? A few application points. First of all, if we are going to obey God, if we are going to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, first of all, we have to trust God's timing. You know, we think that if God doesn't answer in a specific amount of time, we think that God's forgotten about us. I remember my freshman year of college, anytime I would go check my mailbox, I had letters, I had packages, I had care packages from home, from my church. It was awesome. And then sophomore year came around. I checked the mailbox, nothing. Maybe one occasional letter. And then junior year hit. And then I remember I walked into the mailbox and I opened it. Now some spiders had moved in, making themselves at home. Now I'm brushing away cobwebs. But even though I didn't see evidence that someone, you know, was still thinking about me, I still knew that they cared. I still knew that they were there and they were thinking about me. But many times when we pray, and we don't see that immediate answer right away, we think that, oh, God's not really there. He's abandoned us. Lack of answers does not mean lack of presence. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We have no idea what God is doing behind the background. And I'm sure many of you have testimonies of that, how that you thought that God was going to answer one way, but he answered a different way. And God, and in the background, God's fitting all the puzzle pieces together. And all of a sudden, once you see that answer come to pass, then you're like, oh man, God, I'm so glad you didn't answer the way I thought you were. You know, your plan is so much better than mine. And we always admit it after we see that answer. But many times when we are in the waiting season, we tend to doubt. We tend to doubt his timing, but we can trust it. Like I said, God fulfills promises in ways that we may not be expecting. You know, maybe he didn't answer the way that you were thinking of, but he still answered it. Thirdly, his promises are personal. He cares about you. He loves you. I'm sure he loves Simeon. He loves everyone. He cares about you. And his promises are personal. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Simeon didn't know the details. He didn't know the method. He just decided that he was going to trust God for what he will do. This evening, I'm not sure what is on your heart. I'm not sure the situation that's going on in your mind or what season you are in. But if God promised that he would take care of you and provide for you, he will. You can trust him. Many of you this evening on the Wednesday night, you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. And you're trusting him for eternity, for your eternal destination. You are trusting God for that. You can trust him with tomorrow. You can trust him for next week. You can trust him for the rest of your life. Maybe there's some of you this evening who have not taken that first step and placed your faith and trust in Jesus for your eternal destination. He loves you and he cares for you. That's why it was such a big deal for Simeon to have this promise, was because the promised Messiah, was going to come down and sacrifice himself for us. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The next few verses, we will find out the purpose. But many Jews at that time, they were expecting someone to come and save them from the tyranny and the empire that was there. But Simeon understood it a different way. He knew what was going to come. First of all, we see that there was a promise given, a promise fulfilled. But look what it says in verse 30 through 32. I'll start in verse 28. "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Simeon saw Christ, and he saw that he was holding the one that wasn't going to deliver Israel from its circumstances right then and there, but he was going to provide a way of salvation for the entire world through Jesus Christ. He realized that this was the purpose, and in these verses, I noticed that there was a purpose revealed to Simeon. He saw that he wasn't just holding any ordinary baby. He wasn't just holding someone who was going to be king one day. He was holding someone that was going to bring salvation and the light to the whole world. What a promise that Simeon had. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Not many people were blessed to see him as a child, but Simeon did. You know, I'm sure to many people that were going around in that area, the marketplace, whatever it may be, I'm sure they thought that he was just an ordinary baby, an ordinary child walking around, an ordinary person growing up. But to someone like Simeon, who was given a promise to wait, he saw the promise fulfilled, but then he saw the purpose of Jesus. Simeon thrived during these waiting times, but what can we learn in this story? What can we apply this evening? First of all, have faith in God, not frustration. As we read in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It's easy to get frustrated when things are not going according to your plan, when things are not going the way that you would like it to. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to not have patience. But during these times where we wait, have faith in God. That verse is said in Numbers, it said, hath he spoken it, and he shall bring it to pass. We just need to wait on God. And the strength that we need, the strength that we need to get through this season, he has it available. And but Paul, when he was going through that trial, he begged God to remove it from him. But God told Paul that, hey, my grace is sufficient for thee. During this waiting time, during this time where you don't know what's going to happen, you have no idea what the next step is, understand that God's grace is sufficient. Not only have faith in God, but also live in obedience. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. See, Simeon had faith in God, but he also obeyed God, obeyed what he is telling us to do. If we are in that waiting season, when you are walking with God, when you are in prayer, when you are going to church, obey what God wants you to do. Live in obedience. As I mentioned, though, many people who were living in disobedience towards God. And what did God have Samuel tell Saul? That to obey is better than sacrifice. And disobedience is like as a sin of witchcraft. God honors and he blesses obedience. What has he told you to do? Maybe you're here this evening. He has commanded all of us to go and tell someone about Jesus. And we talked about it on Sunday. But have you told someone your story? Have you told someone about Jesus this season? You know, many of us are going home traveling. And we have family. We have friends that we are thinking about. We are commanded to tell others about him. That's what we are commanded to do. Maybe you're here this evening. Maybe you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Next step is baptism. Jesus himself did it, and he set an example. Maybe that's the next step. Living in obedience during this waiting time. You know, many people are asking, what's God's will for our lives? Well, he clearly says his will that all men should be saved. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Are you praising him? Are you giving thanks? Are you living in obedience? Have faith in God, live in obedience, but also praise God before and after. Psalms 40, verse 3 says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What do you mean we should praise God before and after? Well, before, when you're in the trial, when you're in the waiting season, even when you may be on the mountaintop, praise God for it. But also when you are in the valleys, when you don't know what your next step is, when you don't know what's going to happen, continue to praise God. David gives the purpose of that. Once you even praise unto our God, and the purpose is many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When you are praising God, even though you're in a waiting season, even if you are struggling in your situation, people will see you still smiling, still having the joy and the peace of God in your heart. And they'll wonder, how are you able to do this when you're going through this situation? You see, they may think you may not have much money. You may not have things going well for you, but you can tell them, yes, it's true, but I have Jesus Christ living inside me. It's through him that I can enjoy the peace and the joy that only and the strength that only he can give. Praise God before, and then praise God after. Don't just survive during your waiting times. Thrive as a Christian. And you can. It's possible. As myself and Brother Noah, we were hanging flyers a few days ago. We didn't go when it was 18 degrees. We waited till it warmed up a bit. But as he's going, you know, we're getting to the end of the day. We're hanging. And all he kept saying was, don't just survive. Thrive in it. Don't just survive. Thrive in it. It's like, I'm surviving in this cold weather. But he said, no, don't just survive. Thrive. I feel like many times we think that if we just casually do things, once in a while we read our Bibles, once in a while we pray, and if we just do the bare minimum, then we are in good standing with God. We think that if we just make it through, if we just survive, then we are in good shape. But that's not the way that God intended for us to live. We can be successful. You can have the joy and the peace of God. But if you are going to thrive during those times, we need to be faithful. We need to obey. And having faith, believing that God will fulfill his promise. This evening, your circumstance may not change. You may walk in this evening, you had the situation on your mind, and you probably will still have it when you walk out. But the question is, will you get frustrated, or will you just say, you know what, God, I don't know what you're doing. There's nothing that I can do. I'm weak. But I'm just going to be faithful. I'm just going to have faith in you. And I'm not going to choose frustration. If he asks you to do something, are you going to say, I'll do it, God, as long as you answer my prayer first? That's not obedience. Obedience over delay. Trust over control. Will you thrive this evening? You don't have to just survive your waiting season. You can thrive as a Christian. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's have a time of invitation. Like I said, I'm not sure what situation you are in right now. But God knows. You may be in, maybe you're on the mountaintop this evening. Maybe things are going well. That's great. Maybe you are in the valley. Maybe you are struggling in the storm. Or maybe you're just waiting right now. Maybe you were given a promise. Maybe there's a situation where all you have to do is wait. But don't just survive. Don't just go through the motions. You can thrive. You can have success. You can still have a smile on your face. Because you have faith in God and because you are faithful to him. As the music plays, the altar is open. Maybe the situation you need to bring to God. Maybe you say, God, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to turn bitter. I'm just going to have faith in you. Maybe you are here this evening and you have not placed your faith and trust in Jesus. Well, that's the first step. He loves you and he cares for you. That's why he came down from heaven, was for you. That's why he suffered. He went through all that pain. He died on the cross for you. But then 3 days later, he rose again. And the Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by him. If If you would like to trust Jesus this evening and place your total faith and trust in him, there's people around you who would love to show you from the Bible how you can make that decision. And if you have done that, that's great. But what is the next step of obedience that he wants you to do? Are you living in obedience to God? Are you being faithful to him during this season? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message from your word. Father, many times we are tempted to just go through the motions, to just get through each day doing the bare minimum. But I pray that in whatever season that we are in, that we would be faithful to you, that we would live in obedience, but that we would trust you, trust your timing, and that your ways and your thoughts are higher than ours. I pray that you would allow us to have the patience and to wait on you for strength. I thank you for all you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.